Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Open your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 6. I must say to you that I have been so full since Sunday and just thinking about God's goodness and God's blessings and God's provision and just rejoicing in Him. And the Lord laid these two verses on my heart. And in thinking of all I've been thinking about, I also got to thinking about this ought not be unnatural. It ought not be something that happens after something spectacular. It ought to be a way of life for us. And I want you to begin to read with me in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. We'll read three verses and then one verse out of the book of the Revelation. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Isaiah 6, everybody standing out of love and respect for the Word of God. Oh, by the way, I heard on the news this morning something that we need to give prayer to. On Fox News this morning, they said that one day this week, today or tomorrow or the next day, the House is going to vote on a new hate crime proposal specifically directed towards the homosexual. And it's going to be so that if a preacher, and this is what the news said, that if a preacher in the pulpit says homosexuality is sin, he will be guilty of a hate crime and subject to arrest, prosecution, and imprisonment. And of course, that doesn't end it. That's got to be voted on by the House, and they said they're expecting it to pass. It did last time, but it didn't pass through the Senate. And then it'll go to the Senate. But we need to really make that a matter of prayer, and because you'll be looking for another preacher. I'm not going to stop preaching the Word of God. I want you to know that. I'm not going to do that. But they're sure going to make it hard. And we're going to be brought to the place whether or not to see whether or not we really believe God's Word. Okay. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Now that's not a choo-choo train. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And then turn, if you will, over to Revelation chapter 4. And we'll look at verse number 8. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 8, the Bible says, And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, the first incident that we read took place about 800 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. So, about 800 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. The last reading from Revelation 4, verse 8, takes place in heaven right after the rapture, when we're caught up to glory and we see the Lord and the seraphims, the heavenly host around the throne of God. That's about, if it took place tonight, it'd be about 2,800 years apart chronologically as far as Scripture is concerned. Now these are the only two verses in the entire Bible that says in reference to the Lord, holy, holy, holy. And that's what I want to speak to you tonight for just a few moments. I won't be long, but I want to emphasize a great point and a great truth that we need to be aware of. Father, I need your help. I need your power and strength. I need your wisdom to get across the thought that you've had on my heart this week. Now, I love you, and I thank you for filling us with thy spirit and giving us the privilege to be able to stand and preach your word. And you tell us here what the heavenly host in glory thinks about you when they are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then again, you tell us that in ages to come, they'll still be there singing the same song, holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts, which was and is to come. Help us to get a glimpse of who it is that loved us and died for us on that old rugged cross. And do something in our hearts that'll help us to love you and serve you in the manner in which we should. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of the many attributes of God, the one which is most important to Him as God is His holiness and the holiness of the Godhead. His life, His ways, His thinking, His dealings with His creation cannot be separated from His holiness. The word holy is used here in reference to God, means to be set apart from all others, perfect, worthy of all reverence, honor, and praise. And it carries with it the meaning that our God is a sinless God, a pure God, a just God. The theological term is impeccable. Now, our God is all of this and much more. What words can describe Him in His truth? It's holy truth. What words can describe Him in His love? It's holy love. What words can describe Him in His grace? It is grace that is holy and totally unmerited by man. What grace can describe Him when it comes to mercy? Oh my goodness, that boggles my mind, because mercy always has to do with a man and his sin. And here is a holy, holy, holy God looking toward us in mercy. And I could go on and on and on, but the fact is, the Scripture declares that He is holy, holy, holy. Now listen to how Isaiah describes the scene that's taking place in heaven before the throne. A seraphim is crying out to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And when he gets through, another one takes it up. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And when he finishes, another one takes it up to the others. And around the throne, I don't know how many seraphims there might be, but one to another, one to another. It's not about their golf game. It's not about their hunting trip, their fishing trip. It's not about their job, their new car. It's about Him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole world is full of His glory. Now in Revelation, after it's all over here, after the last soul's been saved and the church, last hymn has been sung and the church has been called out to be with the Lord, we're given a glimpse for the first time of Christ in heaven, and we're there with him. And there are the seraphims. What are they doing? They're still singing out one to another, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come." Reckon what God expects his children to do then. Reckon he expects us to join in? Huh? Reckon he expects us to wait until then? We're singing about the one who redeemed us. We're singing about, they're singing about the one that loved us while we were yet sinners. They're singing about the one who saved us and forgave us and made us his children and delivered us from an eternity in hell. And we can't get excited about it. We don't get excited about it. We come to church and sit there like a knot on the log waiting to get out, when we ought to be singing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now that's God's will. And that God is really saying, that's your job now. How's the whole earth going to be full of his glory? We've got to tell him about it. We've got to make him known. We've got to let the whole world know who he is. Our job is to go throughout the whole world and declare the same message with the gospel truth that this wonderful, wonderful, holy, holy God has become flesh, lived among us, tested in all points as we are tested, yet without sin. He died for us on an old rugged cross and made it possible for any sinner anywhere to get saved and have a life worth living here and a future worth looking forward to. I want to tell you, I'm afraid we as a church are not doing well telling it. I'm afraid today Christians would like to have a less holy God who would compromise and overlook our sins instead of paying for them and forgiving them. Isaiah tells us the whole earth is full of his glory, but we don't see it. What are we doing to add to it? What are we doing to make that glory known throughout the earth? And it's not going to end here when we get to heaven. It's going to be carried on up there. And it'd be good if some of you would get in practice down here. You're going to waste the first 1,000 years just trying to learn what to do in heaven. It'd help if we'd start amening down here. We'd start talking about a holy, holy, holy God down here and start adding his glory in our testimony and in our words and in our dealings with each other. Let me point out a few simple thoughts and make a conclusion and I'll be through. Number one, we are told plainly in the Scripture that we have and must serve a holy, holy, holy God. God did not save you to sin. He did not save you to backslide. He did not save me and you to keep our mouths shut. Our job is to make him known in a world going to hell. And the world's never needed a witness greater than it needs it today. We're living in as dark a world as we've ever seen, except in the days of Noah. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. We're living in that kind of day today, where every imagination of man is wicked continually, all the day long. Even legislation is being passed to promote the wickedness and the sin and the imagination of man, and to shut up the voices that ought to be saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Secondly, we're told in Scripture that his Son did come into the world as a holy, holy, holy Savior for sinners. We have a holy, holy, holy God and a holy, holy, holy Savior. In fact, I think what the cherubims or seraphims were saying was, God is holy, Jesus is holy, the Spirit is holy. is referring to the Trinity. We have a holy, holy, holy Savior. Then I want to say the Scripture tells us from the lips of God's own Son, we have been sent a Comforter who is called the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Do you see? Everything connected with Him is holy. We're also told in Scripture that the living Word, Jesus, would give us His heart, His mind, and His will in a written Word. And that all of the words of God are holy words that'll be contained in a book called the Holy Bible. Holy. I've got a holy God, a holy Savior, a holy Spirit, a holy Bible. Well, the Bible even says when God gave it, He didn't give it by ordinary men. 2 Peter 1:21 says these words would be given to us in a supernatural fashion, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have a holy book. God goes on and promises that this holy Bible was inspired, purified, and would be preserved by the Lord Himself from one generation to another forever. Forever. So we've got a holy book. Fifthly, we're told that the calling of God on our lives is a holy calling. When God calls someone to salvation, that's a holy calling. When God calls a man to preach or a person to teach or serve Him, that is a holy calling. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Ours is a holy calling. Then I want you to know we must readily admit that our cause in Christ here on this earth is a holy cause. We're to make known a holy God who loved us while we were yet sinners and sent us a holy Savior to die in our place, to save us. Ours is a holy cause. A holy cause. And then we're sent out with the gospel to win souls and help get people ready for an eternity to a holy city and a holy heaven. That's our job. Now, the point I want to make in the conclusion, and I'll be through. No wonder we're told by our Lord to do this work as a peculiar people. Listen to what He says in Leviticus 27. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Whoops. Who's He saying that to? Us. Now, when it speaks of being holy to us, it's not talking about being sinless. It's not talking about being perfect. It's talking about being godlike. It's talking about being Christ-like. It's talking about being honest and right, moral. Be ye holy. He said, set yourselves apart. Sanctify yourself. You've been called out of the world to a holy God to do a holy work. God says, be ye holy. For your Father's holy. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation means in our way of life. God didn't say, I want you to go out there and be the best. He didn't say, I want you to be the smartest. He didn't say, I want you to make the most money. He didn't say, I want you to be the most intellectual. He said, I want you to go out and be like your Savior. Be like your Father. Be ye holy. Be set apart from the world. Be godlike in your actions and your thinking. Oh, he's not saying you can be perfect. We have been made perfect in Christ in our standing before God. But we're not going to be perfect in our dealings. We're sinners saved by grace and we still have that old nature. But some of you are enjoying the old nature too much. And you're counting on it too much. And you're feeding it too much. And you're pampering it too much. When we ought to be trying to be like our Savior, be like our God. Be ye holy as I am holy in all manner of conversations, in all of our ways of life. And then one more. 1 Peter 1:16. God says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now I submit to you the kind of people God expects to make His glory known in this world are people who will set themselves apart for Christ's use. People who will strive to be godlike and Christ-like. Our actions, our way of life, our talk might represent Him. We're to be like Christ and walk in His steps and follow His example. This has been made possible by the redemption we have in Christ Jesus. The Word of God that makes it possible, it's the Word of God that makes it possible for us to know His will. And by the indwelling Holy Spirit who will lead us and fill us and empower us for the life and the work God has given us to do, we can live to please Him in all manner of conversation. Let these words ring in your heart tonight. God said, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God. God spoke again through Peter. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And then he said, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Don't you think we ought to favor our Father? Don't you think we ought to work at trying to be like Him? How Christ-like are you as one of His children? Do you strive to live godly? Do you get up in the morning and make it a goal for your life to be Christ-like that day? Do you get up in the morning and ask the Holy Spirit to help you magnify Him and help tell the world about His glory? He didn't tell us again to be the most intelligent or the best. He didn't tell us to accomplish more than anyone else, but He did tell us to be holy as He is holy, so that when others look at us, they'll think about Him. I have my Sunday school teacher's picture in my office. It's a picture of her the way she looked when I was a little boy. And every time I look at that picture, I not only thank God for Arlo Rogers, but I think about Jesus. And I thank God for Jesus. Who do people think you favor? Who do people think about when they look at you? When they listen to you? May God give us the spirit of the seraphims. Seraphims have never known the love of God and the redemption of God or the forgiveness of God or the grace of God. And yet in heaven, they're singing glory, glory, glory is the Lord of hosts. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, which is to come. Don't you think that we who have the blood marks of Jesus Christ on us, been saved by His grace, rescued and redeemed from hell and the worthless life that sin would give us, don't you think we could find it in our hearts somehow in some way to learn to give Him the praise and honor and glory He's due? and to declare that He is holy, holy, holy. When we get that truth in our heart, it'll affect our life and our walk. But we're looking for a God today that we can manipulate for our pleasure instead of realizing that our creation and our redemption was for His pleasure and His glory and His honor. Father, that's our message. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for letting us know that the one we call God, the one we serve, the one we love, the one we worship, is not a God made of stone or flesh like another man. But You are as eternal as eternity is. Before anything was, You were. And when there is nothing left, You will be. And in the process of time, You loved us and saved us. Lord, as I was sitting on my back porch today, You've been so good. You've blessed beyond anything I can ever imagine. Why it's so hard? Why is it so hard for us who know You and know You as Savior, find it difficult to honor You and live for You and serve You and glorify You with our life? Help us to get over that sin, that weakness, that frailty, that foolishness. Help us to get to the place, dear God, where instead of looking at everything through ourself and our desires, let us learn to look at everything through You and Your will. Bless the Lord's Supper as we're about to partake it now. I want to ask the instrument.